What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one platform for DJs to build their career online. Today, we have an amazing DJ who is Brian Tech. Brother, could you please introduce yourself, tell the people where you're from?
Yes, hello. I'm who is Brian Tech. Thank you so much, Daryl, for having me. I'm originally from the Bronx, New York. I moved up to Ithaca, New York. Almost 2 years ago in 2019, and most people that know about hip hop, they know that, you know, it's pretty much like the birth of it since the late 70s, early 80s. But I was born in 78, of course, and I was able to fortunately hear the local radio a lot since a child. So I was able to hear, of course, you know, DJ Red Alert, Funkmaster Flex, Marley Marl, so many DJs on hip hop. And of course, like Bobby Condors on the dance hall side. House music, I would variously hear. I remember hearing like club house music, which it was more like midday, you would hear Funkmaster Flex playing a little house, DJ Red Alert. Then as I got older, eventually I learned that there was a concentrated scene in house music with DJs such as Louis Vega, Tony Humphries, David Morales, Len Fisher, a lot of the New York cats that I was listening to growing up in the mid-90s. So I got to a point in the mid-90s, still living in the Bronx, going to high school, where I was recording no more hip-hop tapes from the radio, from DJs, but more house music stuff. And like I was mentioning earlier, when I was younger, I used to record mostly Red Alert mixes on the radio. I believe he was on 98.7 at the time. It was way before Hot 97 was a hip-hop station. Hip-hop, actually, Hot 97, if I remember correctly, originally was like more like Latin and freestyle and dance music. But Flex came later, and I believe in 93 or 94. Yeah, about 92, 93 with Hot 97 with Flex. But again, I was recording a lot of tapes when I was, you know, a child around junior high school of hip-hop. But when I got into high school, I realized about the house scene, deep house, the concentrated underground house music. And I, like, kind of, by mistake, I got, bumping into listening to Dave Morales and Glenn Fisher in, like, about late 94, 95 on Hot 97. This is when they were exactly a hip-hop station. But late at night, I believe after one, after Flex was done with his show, they would go right into the underground house. And they was, Glenn Fisher in particular, he used to play at chosen clubs throughout the tri-state, including New Jersey, throughout the five boroughs, actually, and Long Island. And it was different, totally, because they gave you a club experience on the radio with, for example, Glenn Fisher. He played amazing music. I mean, but he wasn't like a cliche house DJ. He played everything that was hot and popular on the radio station just to kind of keep abreast of those listeners, to kind of get them into house, I guess. I guess that was the programming situation for the station. And so, but he would go into these underground house records that you wouldn't hear on the radio, of course, anywhere. But that was the origin of me really listening to these DJs play records, you know, from around the world. Again, it was not just Glenn Fisher, it was Dave Morales, Tony Humphries, even Frankie Knuckles, actually. Frankie Knuckles used to spin on Hot 97. I used to record all these tapes, and I used to play them back and listen to these records. And a lot of these records, especially that Frankie and Dave Morales and even Tony Humphries were playing, even Glenn, they were playing a lot of imports, from like the UK that you can get here at the time in the record stores in the city or throughout the country, but you would pay more for imports than your local domestic records. So, and I guess about 95, still in high school, I moved to Florida for about a year and a half in around Spring Hill, Tampa, Fort Myers area, finishing up high school. And the funny thing is, I really seriously started buying records through mail order when I moved to Florida. I mean, I was buying a few records here and there throughout the city, but I was kind of like, didn't even realize, I was educating myself by just listening to the tapes that I was recording late at night from about 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning till 5 in the morning, from Friday night going into Saturday. and it was vice versa Saturday night as well. But anyway, fast forward to about 95, 96, I was starting to buy mail order, just records. Didn't even have proper turntables at the time. And, you know, I was just going, I guess it was pre-internet. There was no serious internet back then. So I would have like catalogs of record stores that sold equipment, but they sold records also. Now, I know one record store in particular in Brooklyn was called Upstairs Records. They was out in the, I think, Avenue A or some one of them lettered avenues out in Brooklyn. And I used to actually call them. And the guy at the record store would pretty much tell me, well, actually, I had a list of things from the catalog. And I would call them and be like, yo, you have this, you have that. And for the majority of the list, I had a lot of hip-hop and dancehall stuff that I wanted to get. But I was like, you know what? That stuff is accessible. So, but I want this house stuff because I'm like fascinated. The music and the sounds are totally different. So, you know, he was sending me all these. And my main thing was Armand Van Helden back then. The remixes he did was crazy. And to be honest with you, if it wasn't for me to really kind of hear his remixes that Glenn and David Morales was playing, probably wouldn't have been into house music like I am now, you know, for so many years. But, you know, I was able to experience a lot of remixes that he played or made, excuse me. And then a lot of these DJs were playing. But there were so many other amazing producers as well. And then you're hearing, you know, not just U.S. house music from the greats, from Kenny Dope and Masters at Work, but you're hearing, like, European CJ McIntosh, you know, so many producers, even from the UK, Zulu Records, that was a big FFR. These are European labels that were big in the club scene. But anyway, fast forward into about 97. I went back to New York City actually at about, I want to say, how 19 years old, and I was kind of tired of Florida. Went back to New York City. And of course, being back in New York City, the first thing that I'm thinking is, oh, when I start making some bread and get a job, I'm going to be buying records crazy. And that's what happened. So about, I want to say, when I got my first real job working in the mailroom for a company called Condé Nast Publications, it was like religiously, like every paycheck was pretty much going towards records. You know, and I was able to save some bread, and then eventually, you know, that I can remember, to be honest with you, in 98 and 99, I probably spent over $10,000 worth of money, of my money, on records. It was an amazing time. Like, I can come to tears and think about that year, 98, 99, because it was like, you know, I'm back in New York City, but the big thing with me was the music. And for me, you know, at 19 years old in 98, you know, I'm back to just going back to the radio. Like, this is, I mean, there's people that had computer internet back then, but it was, for me, it was like, oh, I'm going to the radio. So Hot 97 was playing like Dave Morales or anything, but they were still doing Frankie Knuckles at the time. He was still mixing, but there was another station that was new, and I was a huge Armand Van Helden fan. But I'm almost coming to tears right now, because it's crazy, because the music that these guys used to play back then, that hunger is not, in my opinion, is not there anymore. But anyway, it was KTU. I don't know if you're familiar with that station, Daryl, in New York. But 103.5, they had not only Dave Morales, but they had Armand Van Helden at the time DJing on the slot. So that was like an amazing thing. When I heard that, my whole body, a hair on my body just stand up. I was a huge Armand Van Helden fan. But anyway, again, I was going back to recording tapes again of these mixes. And eventually, I bought turntables. Even back in Florida, I bought GLI belt drive turntables. But fast forward to New York in 98, I was able to stop being lazy and, you know, got real Gemini. Actually, we started out with direct drive Gemini. And then I used to hang out with certain DJs. Like, man, you better get off those Gemini and get you some techniques. Take the sacrifice. Spend the quick $500 on two turntables. And that's what I did. So immediately when you get the 1200, you see that, yeah, you're going to have to practice in order to get those blends tight. But it was like a whole different machine. The 1200s was so solid. And even with the pitch control, it was like, man, this is it. But anyway, still buying records. You know, and again, let's go back to a little bit with the mixing that I used to hear. And this is what got me up to the DJing eventually. But a lot of the stuff Armand was playing, it was a big thing back in 98. he started a thing called Speed Garage. And in this country, they really didn't respect it, to be honest with you. A lot of the name DJs that I even looked up to and loved their mixing, they thought it was just straight up corny because it sounded animated compared to the musicality of records that they used to play. But anyway, Speed Garage was a form of house music that they sampled kind of like the garage house cuts and sped up the joints to like between 128 and like 135. So you'll hear like Masters at Work beats that were sampled in an MPC or SP-12 or S950 or Kai sampler with the snares and familiar grooves that most house DJs know. So with Armand, his thing was he was into drumming. He was into all music, but from what I remember, his blueprint was like drum and bass music, house music. So he was like basically doing the bass lines from drum and bass and jungle, but adding a house beat. And he never really took the credit. He always gave credit to like Todd Terry and, you know, even Kenny Dope and other producers from back when. But anyway, I was fascinated with it. And then Armand would play like French house records from France, actually, from, you know, the UK, disco house. So it was amazing to me. It was a whole new thing going on. That's why, like, now, a lot of the stuff that they play, I've talked to a lot of the Strictly Rhythm, well, one in particular, my man Isaac Ives. He has his own label, Head Vibe Records. He's a alumni from Strictly Rhythm since, like, 18, 19 years old. But anyway, he listened to these new records that are on Beatport, Traxos, iTunes, Spotify, you name it. And they were doing all this stuff back in the 90s, you know, when it was just vinyl. But wow. Anyway... Yeah, so fast forward to about 2000, right before, I guess, Apple, the download store. That changed everything, in my opinion, because I had like 16 crates of records. And that, to be honest with you, that ain't nothing compared to a lot of these other DJs. Like, for me, that was a start. I've heard of Pete Rock and my man from DITC. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he's a producer, a Buck Wild. These guys got like close to millions of records, 500,000 vinyls. But anyway, most people at that time in the early 2000s were converting from vinyl, pretty much getting rid of their vinyl with Beatport and TrackSource. And, you know, by far, when Apple came out, I believe in 2000, before 2001, you know, that shut vinyl pretty much in this country down. But from what I get, vinyl's been, you know, still going in other countries, Japan, China, Europe, Germany, you name it. Even a lot of Detroit hip-hop and house producers are still producing on vinyl and playing only on vinyl. They're not even playing on digital. But anyway, the majority in this country are. So fast forward to where I'm at now, I kind of skipped pretty much the 2000s because the 2000s is when I really got into producing. And then in the early 2000s, I was buying very little of vinyl. And I realized, you know what? There's no need to buy vinyl because in New York, guess what? All the record stores are closing down. So you have Satellite Records. In Manhattan, there was the hip rock and soul where they played. They had a lot of hip-hop and house. You name it. All the record stores pretty much that I remember were closing. And it's funny, just a few years ago, Rock and Soul reopened, but they relocated in a smaller space. But anyway, again, I started getting into producing. And it wasn't really starting out with, like, what I use now, Reason and Cubase. You know, I started out actually with hardware, with, like, a Yamaha ARM 1X. And, you know, little workstations that you can save stuff on floppy disks, actually, and then retrieve it back. But anyway, as a producer and as a DJ, really, the point that I want to make, it goes hand to hand. So I came up to this point where I'm at in life now, where not only am I producing and I'm a DJ, I have several independent dance labels, and I also put out jazz and R&B, hip-hop, whatever, you know, whatever we think is good. But, you know, at this point now, I'm at WRNPraise.net station. I'm doing a show every Friday and Saturday from 9 p.m. to 11. I play house music, you know, and I use virtual DJ. And, before that, I've had plenty other shows online. I played at Dance Studio. I was fortunate and I'm blessed to be able to play in dance studios in New York City a couple of years ago. And you really, as a house DJ, if you want to be a good house DJ, besides producing your own records, there's a whole difference between playing online and then playing with dancers. And when I say dancers, I don't mean just dancers at a club only. I'm talking about at a dance studio where you got people from all over the world moving to New York City to be a part of something that at a young age, this is what they live and breathe, and this is what they want to do. So now it's like your hunger with theirs. And so to me, when I used to play records with them and they're sweating and stuff, that was an amazing thing. They call it sweat equity. You know, you give to them some dope grooves and they give back to you via sweat. And so for me, to see them sweat is what makes my heart pump and makes me want to play more and produce more tracks. You know what I'm saying? So it's a whole different vibe. It's not about money really when you're playing for real dancers and people that, you know, live and breathe it. But that's where I'm at now. I mean, I can talk about my productions for like a good while, but the whole point with DJing, it's very, you know, it's amazing and it goes hand in hand with producing.
Wow, man. No, that was a super powerful and heartwarming story. I can tell just the way that you speak about your story, about your love for DJing and music and the industry as a whole. What do you think is what caused that to happen? Like, what do you think is the thing that has kept you going so hard in the industry, you know, for so long?
Well, for one thing that I feel like, even if you got something that's hot, it's never enough. It's addicting, but in a good way. Because if you love music, it's just like before I started even producing or DJing, it's like, man, what new records does this DJ have that I can record and hear that makes me go crazy like the first time? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if, like, it's, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be, you know, foul, but I'm going to be real. It's like a person that, you know, they get high on drugs, but it's never like the first time for them, for what I hear, you know? So I guess with me, again, I'll repeat it. When I used to hear certain records being played, and now it's like, even to this day, there's records that I'm finding that DJs played years ago. And my memory is good, thank God, that I can remember certain records. And when I hear it on YouTube, I'm like, damn, it took me almost 20 years to find this record. And it's not like just digging. This is from, you know, the way YouTube is set. And see, this is one thing I would do like about YouTube, you know, real quick, because it's not digging. It's not digging in the crate. It's because when you go on YouTube, you can click a song, and because of the relativity of the record, it might lead you to other things. It's kind of like digging, but it's not. You know what I mean? But what keeps me to go is I want more. Like, I want to outdo my mix from yesterday. You know, that's as far as DJing. Production, same thing. You know, and or because I love music, I want to hear some fly records that I used to hear back in the 90s, or I want to hear a flyer record that I heard from this producer from yesterday. I want to hear something better so I can play it and rock it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. No, that's awesome, man. And a lot of the people that listen to this podcast are either just getting started with their DJ career, or they're at the place where they're looking to elevate it, take it to the next level. You know, right. What's some advice that you have for people that are looking to get into the industry or even take their career to the next level?
The best advice that I can give anybody, and this is something that I didn't realize I was doing, but this is just the way because I love music so much. Take your time and be true to yourself, because, you know, we're not going to live forever, but this music process, let the natural progression just come in, because, like with me, no one can say I sound like anybody as far as certain things. I mean, we all know with house music, for example, it's a straight kick drum, right? But there's other things that's going on, because that's the best advice I can give the young up-and-coming generations with it. Because when you listen to a lot of these records, and it's not just house in my opinion, it's in different styles, even with trap, you know, the music, a lot of these rappers, these producers, a lot of them sound the same. And so it kind of stagnates the art, you know what I mean? And so that's the best advice I can give, because this is something that I've just realized with me. Why did I take so long? You know, I was doing it for myself. It wasn't for to impress nobody. It wasn't for to gain a girlfriend or nothing like that. Because all that ought to come. But if you love something and you want to share your personal art, we all have it. You know, so that's my best advice. Just rock out and do you and take your time. Allow the natural progression. Just because, for example, this person is at this level, your time will come. Don't even look for your time to come. just love what you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's great. And you said something super important about, you know, standing out of the crowd. You know, there's a lot of DJs out there. What are some things that you do to differentiate yourself from others and stand out with your brand?
What keeps me different from everyone else is, more importantly, I'm not trying to do what everybody else is doing as far as sound. You know, like, the main thing, I'm just going to play records, for example, that I love. I don't care if it was 20 years ago, if it was yesterday. So the main thing as far as DJing, I don't play, like, if I play out or if I feel up to it, I might play, you know, a DJ Premier hip-hop record and then transition out of it and drop Kerry Chandler house record. You know, it just depends. So I'm not trying to do anything everybody else. That's how I realized that's what I love. Like, I love the versatility. So that's what keeps me different. I want to be able to, I produce all styles of music. I want to be with music. It's not about, I love house, but I love rock. I love jazz. I love dancehall, R&B, hip hop, of course, Latin, you name it. But the point is, I'm going to do it, but on my terms and the way I do it. You know what I mean?
Awesome. That's great, man. And right now we're in 2021. You know, we've been hit with this COVID-19 pandemic that's really disrupted the whole DJ industry and entertainment in general. You know, what are some things that has changed in your business in your DJ career since this pandemic? And what are some of the things that DJs can do to navigate through this pandemic right now to keep moving forward with their business and their brand?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel, even though, unfortunately, this pandemic is very serious by far, I feel this actually levels the playing field. And a lot of DJs don't really see that, and maybe some do. Meaning, those that, be honest with you, and I even hate to even break it down like this, because I know this is a fact. For example, a lot of DJs, without me even saying names, they're not able to play where they used to play for big money right now, as far as I know. Now, there are probably certain DJs that do get paid to do virtual things. God bless them. But they earn that, you know what I'm saying? Because they've put in years of work, you know, since like maybe the late 80s or whatever. But the point that I want to make is, and then this is just something I feel, and I think there's other, we're at a serious level. We're all on the same page at this point because of the internet. You know, I mean, for example, look at D-Nice. Now, he's mostly known for as a rapper, really. You know, I'll be honest with you. And this is just my opinion. He is definitely not the best DJ, for sure. If you're going to ask me who the best hip-hop DJ, I'm going to sit here all day and name names. He's not one of them. But because of the internet and because of the timing was perfect for him. And so for everybody right now, the time is perfect. If you want to be a DJ, there's no better time with the virtual DJ thing as far as online. Because we all have other busy lives going on. We're all trying to find our spots in life, honestly. It's like we're resetting with the pandemic. But there's no excuse. We all could be out here at least online. Because when you do it physically, it's way harder. Because you're, not to say that you're carrying crates, that's not what I'm saying. But to land gigs, you know, or mobile DJing, that's something different. But to land gigs on a physical side of it, it's extremely hard. DJs are a dime a dozen by far, you know. So I really think it's more of an advantage for us than a disadvantage. And when I say for us, I mean every DJ, because of the internet. But it's what you do with it. You know what I mean?
Definitely, man. No, I appreciate you dropping these gems, man. This is very valuable to our listeners. And I'm super excited to have you on this podcast. We're going to take this time to jump into the lightning round. Are you ready?
Uh-oh. It sounds like fun.
All right. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Oh, I like this lightning round. So I got Novation Mini Nova Synthesizer, and I also got a Arturia Mini Brute, and I have a controller by Nectar, Impact LX 25 Plus, and I use Reason and Cubase in my PC.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
I'll stick with Armand Ballard. He's my favorite DJ. I mean, I got so many, but he's my number one. And it's not about now, actually. It's the stuff that he used to do years ago. It's just, it got me through life in such a way. But that's it with that. You know, as far as hip house, anyway. Can I give you a hip hop favorite DJ?
Go ahead.
Yep, I'm not gonna lie to you. My favorite hip hop DJ is Funkmaster Flex. The guy's skills are unbelievable as far as his hand, you know. So.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
I'll be honest with you. I think it would definitely be one of those schools where, not school, but the dance studios in the city in Manhattan when I was doing that. And the reason why is pretty much like I said earlier, that sweat equity. These people are coming from around the world to be, it kind of reminds me of Fame, you know. These are kids from France, very heavy Asian group of kids. They're very talented, I'm going to be honest with you, and fun too. But all around the world. And I think that was the big thing for me. You know, not even playing at a club. You know, I might have played at a club before. But that's not it for me. It's the dances, man. Even with house music, you're creating for dances. I love to dance too. But I'm not going to front. Those dancers, they live and breathe dance. They love it. You know, so that's definitely my best experience that I've so far. I don't even think I'll come close to that again. Maybe down the line. You know?
Who was the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Well, I was fortunate to meet Armand twice, actually. Once at a Guitar Center and at a club. But let me see. There's someone more interesting, to be honest. I met Roger Sanchez. I met Todd Terry. Who's the most interesting? I give it to Roger Sanchez. He's very... I want to give it to Armand or even Todd. But certain things that Roger says in a convo, it was very short and brief. It's just that you could sometimes get a lot and learn a lot from more individuals than others, you know?
What's one thing that you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
Oh, getting cut off on Facebook when you're playing somebody's records from Warner Music group or something. Especially Facebook Live.
And shout out DJs that you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
Oh, definitely. My man Isaac Ives. Gotta reach out. Get big shout out to him. Head Vibes. He's got a label, and his other DJs and producers and artists, they're talented and they're very tight. I like that. It's like a brotherhood, but they're like having fun, but they're just talented. You know, definitely big shout out to him. And let me give at least one more DJ a shout out. My man DJ Procrastinator from Washington Heights. Give him a shout out. I've actually played with him at a club in Manhattan. He's definitely someone to look out for.
Awesome, man. And where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Yeah, definitely. Right now, you want to definitely check out my Friday and Saturday shows. It's the Gospel Station. But I play Gospel House and all styles of house music every Friday and Saturday at 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. on WRMPraise.net radio. And in the name of the show is 911 Get Lifted Show, which, man, myself, Who Is Brian Tech. You can always come up on Mixcloud. I'm under one word, Who Is Brian Tech. If you want original production, you can go to Beatport, Track Source, Apple Music, Spotify, Who Is Brian Tech. And sometimes I go up live on Instagram, Facebook, Mixcloud Live as well. And I'm definitely looking forward to doing a serious set eventually on your club app, Darryl.
Thank you, brother. Hey, everyone, you've listened to Who Is Brian Tech on the My DJ Story podcast. Brother, I appreciate you. You dropped some gems, a really heartwarming story. Looking forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you so much for having me.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club Virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from the club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.